Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine bestselling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a blood. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me.
This is Sherry Dixon, public speaker. I love listening to Patricia Benjamin on RUAC Radio. It's awesome.
Hey, Erica, Tina, can you sing a song about little girls for me, please?
She was just 13, and I just don't think that she ever seen her own beauty. She didn't think she'd be anything, and that little girl, she used to be me.
Little girl, oh little girl, wonder are you listening? Little girl, oh little girl, struggling with your confidence. Little girl, oh little girl, God made you so beautiful. Little girl, oh little girl, I just thought that you should know.
Sometimes you feel like you don't fit
waiting, 'cause you don't look like all your other friends. You got your own thing going on, girl, you're so unique. You are just the way that God intended for you to be. Do when you get up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror and say, I love me,
I love me.
Even with all your flaws and all of your downfalls, just be your best, 'cause to him you already are. Little girl,
yeah.
Are you listening
to me?
Little girl,
struggling with your comfort,
yes you
little
are.
How beautiful a start was that. Little girl, that was Mary, of course. And then we started out with a theme song from The Showman. Yeah, This Is Me. Yeah. All right. So this is the Patricia Show. It's all about motivation and inspiration every Monday, as per usual. And I'm really inspired. So I've got some amazing people that are going to be joining me for the next 2 hours. In just a minute, I'm going over the Atlantic, over to the Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago. I'm going to be chatting with life coach Chrisanne Ambrose. We've got so much to talk about, but really wanting today to celebrate who we are. And in fact, I'm not even going to give it that much of a lead in, because that's really what we're going to be talking about, is celebrating who we are, not being afraid of who we are, just being completely unapologetic and knowing the power of being yourself. What do you think of that, Chrisanne? The power of being yourself.
Hi everybody, greetings from the beautiful island of Antigua. It's a beautiful sunny day.
Oh my god, well, we haven't got any sun going on today at all,
you know? Oh boy, we've got lots, but greetings everybody from Antigua. I'm so grateful to be here again, Patricia. Thank you so much. And I really love the topic, the power of being yourself, because
yes,
so many people suffer from low self-esteem.
Yes.
And we really, really want to root that out for 2020.
Oh yeah, of course. I absolutely agree. In fact, I mean, how are we? I mean, let's say everybody sits down, you know, and they come up with their New Year's resolution. They have all these plans. But Chrisanne, as you rightly say, if we don't really accept who we are, we're not going to achieve those plans. We're going to constantly be holding ourselves back.
Yes, because let me tell you, low self-esteem,
yes,
low self-confidence, it
yes,
is a killer, particularly
mm-hmm,
when it comes to our progress, because basically we just taking and accepting every single view of ourselves that the world is putting on us.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful with that. It's really, really dangerous. But we're going to be discussing that further.
We are going to be discussing that. But before we even go into that, I don't know whether you watched Mr. Universe last night, but it apparently was a very awesome moment when Miss South Africa took the crown.
Well, I didn't see it because obviously when it was carrying on the other side of the world,
yes,
I was most likely asleep. But I woke
yes,
up to the news this morning, and I was
know,
looking at a news station.
Yeah.
And she is so beautiful in
I
her
know,
natural self. And I'm saying to myself, we have come such a long way because she's sporting her natural hair.
Yeah.
I am not a racist in any way at all. But at the same
yes,
time, I do celebrate women of color
yes,
and people who have accepted their natural ourselves as well.
Yeah.
She was there in her awesome natural state, black hair.
I know.
Black hair, you know, natural hair.
Yes.
And, I mean, she just basically stood out, a woman of beauty, and you can tell that she really, really was a confident lady.
Was.
Confident in who she is.
Yeah, she was. And, I mean, I think what I really liked about it, as you said, she was very natural. But, I mean, she didn't go for a long look. It was very short, a really kind of a fade, like a box fade she was wearing. Mm-hmm. And her beauty was just undeniable. But I think for me, it was the fact that, you know, she was from South Africa. And we all know the history of South Africa, where they really are told, women who look like you, you're not on any level of beauty. And for her to be crowned Miss Universe, you know, amongst all the other women from all the nations of the world, I think that's just such amazing. Because representation makes a difference.
Definitely. And I remember growing up in the 1970s, we were always watching the Miss Universe pageant.
Yeah.
And most of the times, Miss South Africa was not really a lady, a woman of color.
No.
Sorry, but I mean, it is what it is.
It's
and
true.
One of the things that your audience is going to realize about me, Chrisanne Ambrose, is that I give it to you straight. I'm very real.
That's
but yeah,
like.
You hardly saw women of color
yeah.
who were representing South Africa. So, I mean, I was really impressed with her
yeah.
and with her being herself.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, you know, the regular, you know, a nice box. Cut not
yeah.
too much
yeah
no extensions, no wig
no,
or anything
no.
She was just being her
this
beautiful
is me.
Natural self
yeah.
not being the person who the world portrays as beautiful
Thank
but
you.
Being herself as beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so good to see. Like, we're going to be chatting about that in our next hour, but I really wanted to just touch on that because I think it kind of relates to what we're talking about here, Chrisanne, just in accepting ourselves. I mean, as a coach, I'm probably sure that you probably come across people that, yes, they want to achieve stuff, they have goals, but there's issues with self-acceptance, there's issues with self-belief, and that has to be dealt with first of all, I think, before anything.
Yes, definitely, because I mean, and I speak to people about all the time about the limiting beliefs that are placed
yeah.
on them from their quote-unquote legitimate sources. It could
yeah.
be your mother, it could be your peers, it could
so
be people
true.
Who you look for, you
yeah.
look up to, people in leadership position who you hold to very high esteem. If they come to you and they say to you, you can accomplish this, but you cannot accomplish that.
Exactly.
Because it's coming from people who are your legitimate sources,
yeah.
you tend to accept
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And you know, you not only accept it, but you live it, you hold on
mm-hmm.
to it. It's the gospel truth, and it's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, it really is. I came across a piece a little bit early on from Kelly Rowland, and you know, she was in one of the top, I think, girl bands. I don't know if it's the top girl band or one of them at least. And you would think from looking at her, because I think she's a very beautiful girl to look at, and there's nothing not to like. And then yet she talks about her own issues. And let me just read a little bit of the article. The highlight is you can't allow the world to tell you who you are. And then she talks a little, let me just go down into what she has to say. She talks about the pressure, Chrisanne, to please everyone but herself. And that pressure led her to one of the darkest places in her career. Mm-hmm. She said that one of the hardest challenges was gaining the courage to understand that someone's thoughts about her were based on their perception, not her reality. And she said before she could truly grow, she had to stop believing the things that other people said about her.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, do you relate? What do you think? Because I looked at her thinking, wow, there she is doing her thing, looking amazing, never thinking that she's got all these insecurities.
Yeah, and because she's someone who's in the spotlight, a lot of people are going to think that, you know, she has it all together.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy that you came out with that
yes.
article, because
mm-hmm.
it puts a lot of things into perspective now, that the person you see in the spotlight,
yes.
that they're not 100% comfortable with themselves.
Yes.
And then again, these people who are in the spotlight, it's like they have to take it from the crowd. For
yes.
example, I
yeah.
think at one time she was a bit overweight.
Right.
And of course, you know, the world is going to say, Kelly, you're overweight.
Exactly.
And she takes that and she's, okay, the world doesn't want me overweight. Let me lose weight.
Yes.
And then, of course, they start glorifying her again. And then somebody else will say, oh, Kelly, maybe your nose needs to be straightened. You know, it's
yes.
all people's perception of yourself. And
yes.
if you are not comfortable
yeah.
with the person you are,
yeah.
you end up losing the person you really are, so to speak.
You
tend to wonder, what is my identity? 8
yeah.
billion people in the world are telling me, change this, change this,
Thank
change
you.
This, change
yes.
that. that.
Yes.
Really,
yes,
I mean, yes. you end up being confused. And I can understand when she says that it led her to the darkest place in her life.
Oh, my gosh. This is not good. You know, when you said that about people looking at her, maybe saying, oh, well, maybe now you can fix your nose or something. I remember when Oprah had lost some weight. You know, there was a time in her life when she lost a significant amount of weight and everybody was congratulating her and saying, well done, Oprah, you're looking fantastic, you're looking great. The only thing you need to do now is mm-hmm. fix your nose. And Oprah said that she wasn't having it. As far as she was concerned, this was her nose. This was who she was. And I thought, well, good for you, because it would have been so easy to sort of buy into the dream, buy into the image. Well, I'm so close now. Look, all this weight I've lost. Let me just get this, you know, European, I imagine, style nose. But she held on to herself.
Well, I'm really happy that she did that, because it will never, ever stop. Yeah. Like I said, you're looking at 8 billion people in the world coming at you from east, west, north, south, southwest, southeast, with every single thing
yes.
that they're putting on you that they think that you should do.
Yeah.
If you are not confident in yourself, and if you don't stand up for the person you are, then mm-hmm. you're going to end up being, like I said, you're going to definitely lose your identity, and that is definitely not a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just so much stress being put on people all over the world, whether you're famous or not.
Yeah. Do you think as black women that we get it more? Because not even, I mean, the black is one issue, but as women, because, you know, women are supposed to look pretty, you know, we're supposed to be made out of hair to look pretty. And so there is this pressure then, I imagine, that she would have felt, well, I've done the hard bit, I've lost the weight. Let me just do my nose so I can truly be accepted as beautiful. And do you think as women that there's more pressure on us, really, to sort of buy into all of that?
Yeah, as women, it's bad enough. But as a black woman, I think it's even worse. And particularly, I can tell you, like, growing up, you look at different organizations, like the job place, for example. I think it's only now that black women are allowed to come into work with braided extensions, with their hair natural, with the dreadlocks in their hair.
Right.
I think it's only now it's an acceptable thing, because before, I think that there was there were limits. It's like a dress code was put in place, so to speak, and you better have your hair slicked down or... You know, you need to be dressed a certain way. A lot of things were not accepted back then.
Yeah.
It is so for women. We are under a lot of stress, whether you're a woman of color or not.
Yeah.
But particularly the black woman, the woman of color.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stress right there. A lot, you know.
It's really interesting to me, because I'm been brought up in the UK, and often, you know, the only beauty that we've seen that has been really legitimized is European beauty. And so I'm looking at you as a woman that's brought up in the Caribbean, and I would have thought that there would have been much more sort of recognition, you know, endorsement of that natural black beauty. Do you think it was still an issue there in the Caribbean, or is that right?
Yes, I mean, like I said, it's only now that people are coming out of this thing, and we have decided to stand up for our rights.
Right.
Where you have organizations actually changing the dress code and now allowing you, even in schools, Patricia, the children were not allowed to go to school with dreadlocks.
Wow.
They were not. Mm. And now it's, you know, everybody's basically embracing who they are right now. I think that right now we really need to commend ourselves for standing up for our rights over the decades.
Yes.
Because now things have changed a lot.
Yeah. I'm just looking again back at Kelly. And Kelly says, don't apologize for who you are. Don't apologize for anything. Don't apologize for the curls of your hair. Don't apologize for the color of your skin. And don't apologize for the sway and swagger and the urbanized moments we have with our speech, because they end up becoming trends. I think she's really kind of nailed it there.
Yes, she hit the nail on the head right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a very confident woman, and I'm talking about a woman who is genuinely confident, this is the woman who has accepted who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to go get the, the breast implants, because everybody's talking about the hourglass figure and the certain size breast
mm-hmm.
arms.
That are in fashion. That's the thing.
Yes, so you get, so if you see, there are times when you walk, when you know, if here in Antigua, I can speak for her in Antigua, when you're walking down the road road, and there's this lady just walking. You can actually tell that she's oozing confidence.
Okay.
And in your eyes, she will not be 100% perfect.
Right.
But, I mean, that basically tells you that she has accepted herself for who she is. And my perception and nobody else's perception matters but hers.
Yeah.
That is a confident woman.
Yeah, that is so, so true. I really like what you're saying. What do you think? Say someone's listening in today, Christina, they're hearing us saying all these things and they're kind of wanting to sort of buy into it. They're wanting to think, you know, I hear what these two ladies are saying and I recognize I might need to change my thinking, upgrade my thinking. Where can they start? Where can they start if they want to begin that sort of personal journey into self-love, self-acceptance?
So you have to understand, first of all, and I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, you have to understand, first of all, that everybody is built uniquely. Right now, we're talking about looks, and this goes way beyond looks. This goes this goes to personality, your gifts, your purpose, the things that you are good at.
Yeah.
And you need to embrace you. First of all, you need to find out what are the things that I love. What are the things that I love about myself? And be quite honest with it.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with you loving something about yourself that is not going to hurt anybody. Because it all comes right back down to balance. There's nothing wrong with you loving something about yourself. Because 10 people don't like it and you like it, that means that you shouldn't like it. That is absolute rubbish. Sorry, but I mean, like I said,
it's
I give it to you very real.
it's true.
You know, and we also have to understand, Patricia, that the thing is that we are all unique pieces of the masterpiece.
It's
like a jigsaw puzzle, all different shapes, sizes, colors, tones, and everything.
Yes.
And I cannot want to be exactly like piece A if I'm meant to fit in to slot D, if you get what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So this is where we need to accept our uniqueness.
Yes.
This is where we need to accept our gifts, our looks, our color, the way that we are. Now, I'm not saying that we can't improve on ourselves.
Exactly.
But it does not make any sense to be changing yourself completely to fit into slot X when you're uniquely designed to fit into slot A. I hope that makes a lot of sense.
Gosh, it's just perfect. Listen, Chris, I'm hoping you can stay with me for a few more minutes. I want to talk to you a little bit more about when you said unique pieces of the masterpiece, because I think we all need to recognize how unique we actually are. Do you have a few more moments to hang about with us?
Certainly, I do.
All right, fantastic. Well, you're listening to myself, Patricia Benjamin, on The Arts Patricia Show with my guest, Chrisann Ambrose.
Treat me right.
this is Sherry Dixon, public speaker. I love listening to Patricia Benjamin on Ruach Radio. It's awesome.
All right there. Well, that was a very fantastic Jennifer Hudson saying, Spotlight, I look like living under your spotlight. Well, that made me think all about relationships there, Chrisa. And I thought the kind of relationships that we put up with because we don't love ourselves, we don't have that self-esteem. I don't know what you thought about listening to those words.
I think that that song is very timely, to be quite honest with you, because there are too many of us living under somebody else's spotlight. And yeah, and I mean, it's like we're trying to trim ourselves down. It's like wearing somebody else's dress. I'm a size 4.
Yeah.
There's no way I can fit into a size 14, and there's no way that a size 14 can fit into my size 4. And it's like somebody just trying to expand themselves to fit into a size 14 dress. Mm-hmm. It's not meant for you, and you're not going to be happy at all. Even if you do, that is not the real you later on in life. And I always feel that later on in life, it's like the real you will come out.
I agree.
And it will have two effects.
Yes.
It could have an effect of regret later on in life when you realize the person that you could have been, but now it may be too late for you because, I mean, you're probably on a deathbed or something, you know, and I mean, it could come out at a time when you're really, really ripe to come out.
Yes, yes.
You know, as yourself.
Mm.
So, I mean, living under somebody's spotlight, if there's anybody listening to us right now, listen to me. It is not worth it. Nurture you.
Yeah.
Because you're meant to be you.
I think that's such a great point. And I think when we're in a relationship that requires that we dull ourselves, or that we kind of constrict ourselves, we don't become our full selves because, you know, this is the space that we have and make that person feel comfortable, we're actually in the wrong relationship, because the person that's for you wants the best of you. They want to see the best of you. They want to see you attain your best and to be your best. And you may want to ask yourself why you're staying in a relationship that isn't about you. It's not for you. It's not helping you. It's not blessing you. And whether you need to think, maybe I need to rethink this relationship. Should I be here?
We are not exactly telling people to get up and leave their spouses because you make a very valid point right there, Patricia, and I do know a few people who are experiencing that and they're in a marriage.
Yeah.
And what I have to say to them is that, yes, you be there for your husband. Yes, you do. You be there for your children. But at the same time, you have got to be there for you, and you cannot water yourself down because your family cannot take you at 100% proof.
Yeah.
And if they really do love you, if your spouse really does love you, then they will eventually understand that you have to be who you are.
Yeah,
you may get a bit of friction sometimes, but then you have to train that spouse to understand that, listen, this is me. I am coming out of my shell. I am taking my identity back.
Yes.
I am not loving you any less.
Thank
I will continue to do for you the things I need to do for you, but need to do me as well.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for making that distinction. I mean, when I was speaking, I was more thinking of people in relationships, but when we take it to marriages, because as soon as you said that, I thought of a few people straight away that I know are so watered down in their marriages, and they kind of upset me a little bit, because I think, what are you doing? What's happened to you? You know, you're kind of like a faded version of yourself. And just to let those people know that you can take back your own power, because at the end of the day, that person, they did not give you life, and you're not going to answer to them at the end of the day. You're going to answer to the person who created you. And I think, you know, when you're 6 feet under, it's too late then for regrets. You're only here for a set period of time, and you need to make the most of it. And so, you know, it makes me think to myself, whenever I'm tempted to just take it easy, or just like not take it to the limit that I know that it could, I said to myself, you only here one time around. You're not going to come for a do-over. This is not a dress rehearsal. This really is it.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough to me to say, well, I don't want to upset this person. You know, they need to examine themselves as to why they're upset. It's not my issue. It's their issue.
Yes, and I mean, you have people who come across very, very strongly, and they can really manipulate the system and manipulate the relationship.
Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, I was in one such relationship years ago before I met my husband.
Right.
And at one point, I had no idea who the heck Chris Ann was, because
wow.
it was like, I don't like that about you. Okay, and because you love the individual so much, you decide, okay, I will change.
Yes.
And then next week, it's something else that they don't like. And mm-hmm. I mean, this just went on and on and on and on for weeks and months.
Yeah.
And eventually, thank God, I didn't see it at the time as a blessing.
Yeah.
I got left. So here it is that I am just changing every single week for you.
Yeah.
And then you eventually decide to leave me. And I'm like, you know, and this is me in my stupid young sense. Please don't leave me. I can change. I promise I can change.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm, it's so pathetic. I'm sitting and I'm thinking about, who was that girl back then?
You don't recognize her, do you?
Exactly. So I just really want to point that out to some people, because I know that there are some people who are going through that. Listen
Always.
To me, it is not worth it. You're worth too much to be watering yourself down.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Really, really great nuggets there, Chris Ann. But let's just talk for a few moments before you go, because I really love that phrase that you use, a unique piece of the masterpiece. Because I know, you know, it's very easy to look at someone that we admire and we think they're doing so well, and we want to be like them. And it's good to admire and be encouraged and be inspired, but we don't really want to try and be a copy of somebody else. It is to recognize our uniqueness. So let's talk a little bit towards that, Chris Ann.
Yeah, definitely, because I mean, nobody is meant to be a carbon copy of anybody,
mm-hmm.
not even identical twins.
Yeah,
and there's
true.
Nothing wrong mm-hmm. with having role models, and there's nothing wrong with admiring people
yes.
and wanting to be like them, so to speak. But at
yeah.
the same time, you have to make sure that you're not losing your identity in
yeah.
trying to be like somebody else. You have got to make sure that you're not losing
yeah.
your purpose,
mm-hmm.
the things that you were born to do.
Yeah.
For example, if I grew up and, you know, admiring my daddy is my dad is not a doctor, but admiring my daddy because, I mean, my daddy's a doctor, and, oh, I want to be exactly like my daddy.
Right.
But at the same time, on the other hand, you
yeah.
know, I'm a really good, what should I say? I'm a really, really good baker, and that is my passion.
Right.
But no, baking is not good enough because my daddy was a doctor, and
yeah.
I want to be exactly like my daddy.
Yeah.
You have to be really, really careful in terms of who you want to be like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think what we need to admire about people is probably maybe even to certain points their work ethic.
Right. Right.
In terms of like how they stay consistent to their dream,
mm-hmm.
but not exactly wanting to be in the exact same dream
yes.
that are, or work area that they are at. And I mean, this is just an example, so to speak, Patricia, because
yes.
like I said earlier, we are all specifically made. We're all made with our particular purpose.
Yes.
And believe it or not, whether you see it or not right now, there are people out there waiting on you to develop that purpose because they need your help.
Yes.
So
yes.
when you're so busy trying to carbon copy somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you're
mm-hmm.
depriving that person
yes.
who needs your help,
yes.
that person
yeah.
you were born to help,
mm-hmm.
those possibly even millions of people you were born to help, maybe a million people are hearing my voice right now, and
yeah.
I'm helping them.
Yeah.
I know that I'm within my purpose.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I mean, that is my heart today. The thing is, Chris Ann, you know, I'm probably like you, that you probably do more than one thing well, and it's mm-hmm. or sometimes you have things that catch your heart. You think, oh, this is something that I want to look into. But I always had to measure it against my purpose, because I could go off into certain areas that catch my attention. I think, oh my gosh, I need to look into this, I need to do this. And it's fine to help maybe somebody else do that, but I still stay true to my purpose. How important is it, do you feel, that people really find purpose? Because it can become a bit of a buzzword, you know. People like you and me were in the field of transformation. We're always hearing words like transformation, words like destiny, words like on your journey. But I mean, how important is it really to find your reason for being on the planet?
I think it's super important. I can speak for myself. I like to use myself as an example a lot, because up
yeah.
to 10, 12 years ago, I had no idea who Chris Ann was. I was just constantly depressed. I just figured that
yeah.
it was just my lot in life to get up, go to work,
yeah.
get paid just enough money to pay the bills, come home, help the kids with their homework,
right.
be there for my husband.
Yeah.
And really and truly, eventually, it just got really, really monotonous. I said, God, listen, there has got to be more
mm-hmm.
to my life than this.
Yeah.
Frustration set in, depression
yeah.
set in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I even had suicidal tendencies.
Gosh.
Because I'm like, listen, no, this is not, no, I'm
yes.
not happy.
Yes.
There's got to be more.
Yes.
So what I said to people, if you don't know what your purpose is, you do have a purpose. However,
yes.
in order for you to find it, you need to get out and try different things.
Okay.
Don't just be sitting there stagnant. Oh, this is my lot in life. Woe is me. Poor me. Yeah. I really don't know what I'm about. I'm frustrated. Get up and try different things, which is what I did.
Right.
You know, you try different things. Some you may like, some you may not like. But I mean, as long as you're doing something and trying different things,
yes.
you know, okay, this is not my purpose. This is not for me.
Mm-hmm,
on to
mm-hmm.
the next thing. And you just keep, and trust me,
yes.
you will eventually find what you are put on earth for. You will.
Yeah. So I suppose in that sense, because I like the fact that you're telling people to try different things, because I found that even for what I'm doing, I don't think I could have started out, you know, leaving school and becoming a coach, becoming a mentor. I think I had to have certain life experiences first to do it well. And so I feel that there may be things that we're doing along the way. And I don't know whether you feel that what you've been doing along the way is actually informing what you're doing now.
Definitely. And the thing is that we don't pick it up while we're doing it along the way.
Yes.
But what I say to people, whatever it is that you are doing in life, nothing will be wasted. It is, everything will be used up.
Yes.
I mean, I've tried so many different things.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, even the things that you have been through, for example, and everybody, I'm going to say it on the radio.
Yeah.
I was sexually molested growing up.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I mean, it's not something for me to be ashamed about anymore,
no.
because
it's
I
not
did
your
nothing
shame.
Wrong.
It's not your shame at all.
Exactly.
Indeed.
You know, but the thing about it is that I tell people all the time,
yeah.
listen, I am using this to
yeah.
help people who have been through that.
Yeah.
And I'm also using my experiences
yeah.
to prevent young girls from going through that, because I'm now showing them
yes.
what are the red flags to look out for.
Yes.
I'm teaching parents, these are the red flags you look out for,
yes.
whether it's somebody in the
mm-hmm.
home that you know
mm-hmm.
or it's a stranger. Education. Educate yourself, parents,
yes.
and
yeah.
educate your children.
Mm.
So everything you go through in life, don't look at it, yeah, it's a tragedy. Yeah,
right.
you may need some help to get over it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you turn that around to bless so many people's lives.
Yeah.
And that could be a part of your purpose as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And this is something that I've actually learned in the process of coaching, because I have found, you know, more than half of the people that I've worked with over the last 12 years, they've gone through some form of abuse. And a large majority of them are now doing things to help other people, you know, come through it or heal through it. And no one's done this, why me, why me? And I'm not saying they didn't have moments like that, but they're not staying in that space. They're all empowering other people. And so I think, you know, we always use this expression, God doesn't let us have more than what we can bear. But I don't only think it's more than we can bear. I think it's the fact that you can actually turn it around and use it to empower yourself to help somebody who maybe couldn't do what you're doing, who's barely making it, who needs that help. Do you feel that because you've had that experience, it actually gives you some kind of authority in that area, that when you're speaking, it really connects with the hearts of those that are listening that have gone through a similar situation?
Oh, yes, definitely, because you have to go through the situation yourself in order for you to be empathetic, in order for you to be sympathetic,
yeah.
in order for you to help actually tell somebody, listen, I have been through it myself.
Right.
If you have somebody who, you know, there are therapists who can actually coach somebody through
mm-hmm.
this sort of trauma,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they will do a good job, I suppose, based on their training and
yes.
based on their studies.
Yeah.
But it takes the person who has personally been through it
right.
to actually come down on the same level and say, I understand, I
right.
have been through it,
right.
this is what I did to
yeah.
help me through it.
Yeah That's a really good point, and I think that actually really well defines the difference between coaching and therapy, because as a coach, you know, we don't really do therapy. It is very much goals oriented, and
mm-hmm.
so I mean, I haven't gone through abuse, but I've been able to help people when they've come to the point when they need change. But there have been, Chrisann, a number of people, literally a handful, that I've had to refer them to a counsellor, a therapist, because I knew they were still working through that process and needed something separate from coaching. So, you know, you've really sort of exemplified there the difference between coaching and say therapy or counseling. So thank you for doing that, even though you may not have
yes,
intended
definitely.
To, but you've done that so well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a big difference there. And I mean, I have had to refer people as well. It's just that we have to know how far we can go and how far, and, you know, who needs the professional help.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. All right. Well, listen, it's been very inspiring talking to you again, Chris. And as per usual, you're always on fire. Before you go, is there just a last word that you'd like to leave with us on, you know, staying unique or just accepting yourself? Would be great.
Yes, what I really want to reiterate the point that people need to understand, and you need to know that you are definitely unique pieces of the masterpiece. And you cannot, listen, please, stop trying to be a carbon copy of somebody else.
Yeah.
Stop trying to live under some people's spotlight, and stop envying people. Stop thinking that you are not good enough.
Right.
You are good enough. You have purpose. You have passion. You have gifts that you need to develop.
Yes.
Start looking at yourself, loving yourself. Look at the things that you are good at, and start developing those gifts, because there are people out there waiting on you. And believe it or not, Patricia, if I can just throw this in.
Yeah, of course.
For years, I was actually admiring people, wishing that I could be like them.
Yeah.
But I did not realize that there were people out there looking at me and admiring me, wishing to be like me as
well. Wow. Yes. That's such a great point. I love that so much. All right, Chris and Ambrose, thanks so much. Have a good day.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
All right. Blessing.
Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine bestselling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Mona Lisa. Mona, a Mona Lisa. Every part of me is beautiful, and I finally see I'm a work of art, I'm a masterpiece.
Welcome to The Real Love Show on WUAC Radio with Patricia Benjamin.
Hi, this is Oprah's Ambassador of Hope, Marilla Scott. You're listening to Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show with WUAC Radio.
You're so beautiful. you.